We're turning in our Bibles to the 9th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, and looking at verse 10 this morning. Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, and verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. The subject today is, there's a work for you to do. There's a work for you to do. If God had so willed us, we might have entered heaven at the moment of our conversion. It was not absolutely necessary for our preparation for heaven that we should tarry here upon earth. It is possible for a person to be taken to heaven immediately, to be found a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light, though he had just believed on Christ a solitary moment before. Do you remember the thief on the cross? He had no long time for process of sanctification. The Lord Jesus Christ said to him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." It is true that in our case, sanctification is a long and continued process. But if God had so willed it, he might have sanctified us in a moment and taken us immediately to glory. The fact is, we are still here upon this earth. Why are we here? Would God keep his children out of heaven for a single moment more than what is necessary? Does God delight to tantalize his people in keeping them in a wilderness when they might be in Canaan? Why are we still here? Why is the army of the living God still on the battlefield of this world? The answer is, they are here that they might glorify God, that they might bring others to know his love. We are not here in vain, brethren and sisters. We are here to do a work for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are here upon the scene of time, like sowers scattering the good seed, like plowman plowing up the fallow ground. We are here like heralds, telling forth the good news of salvation to sinners all around us. We are here as salt to preserve a world which would become putrid and destroyed. We are here upon this scene of time, for there is yet a work for us to do. Our text declares this morning, Ecclesiastes 9 and 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. You and I are here for a certain purpose, and that purpose will soon be ended. And whether it be accomplished or unaccomplished, there will be never a second opportunity for attempting it. For the Bible tells us here, there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. So far as this world is concerned, the grave is the end of our doing. So far as this time and state are concerned, the grave shall be the burial of our wisdom, the burial of our devices, and of our knowledge. And so the message for you and I today is, as the Scripture declares in our text, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. A number of things I want to focus your attention upon in our text, and as we look at this theme this morning. First of all, the exhortation that is directed. It is an exhortation here to work. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. And what an opportunity that gives each and every one of us today. A door is opened to us. A way is set before us to walk in. The Lord Jesus Christ himself declared in John chapter 9 and verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Work was on the Savior's mind. I suggest to you this morning, and I put it to you today, that work was on the Savior's heart. There was a compulsion upon the Savior to work. I must work. Some have no desire to work. I remember at the height of the troubles in this city and in this country, a man told me of his neighbor. And he asked him, where do you work? He replied, work? Why should I work? All I do is listen for the letterbox to open and the check to drop through every Thursday morning. You see, he had no desire to work. He had become lazy. Getting paid for doing nothing. This ought not to be the attitude of the believer. We are to be ready for action. We're to be anxious for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. The Lord says today to our hearts, why stand ye all the day idle? We are to use the hours of each day to work for the Lord. To put our hand to the gospel plow. You remember when the Lord saw the fishermen? He called them to leave their nets and to follow him. And he said this in Matthew chapter 4, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Become engaged. Become involved in the greatest work of all. There is direction here in this exhortation. Not only to work, but to the place where we are to work. We are to work near at hand, and that's the suggestion here in this passage of God's Word. Most of us are not called upon to work far away in some distant land. Most of us are called to work near at hand. Near at hand. Somewhere near. People are always desiring to do something miles away. If they could, they would go somewhere in another country and accomplish great things for God. Many a young man or a young lady would think, if I could only go to China, if I could only go to India or some place like that, how eloquent I might be. Why don't you go to your own family? Why don't you go to the houses round this church? Go there first. The Lord may well call you to China or India sometime in the future. But until you have first worked near at hand, you will never work for God in some other country or in some other place. There's a work for you to do in this church. Near at hand. Around about here. Of course, ladies, you have your home duties. Men, you have your home duties too. There are the duties of the highways and the hedges. There are the duties of the streets and lanes of the city. To go out into the streets and lanes of the city and compel those that are there to come in. People sometimes say to the minister, what shall I do for Christ? In 9 cases out of 10, it is evidence of a lazy, idle spirit. When men ask, what shall I do? Very often I find people ambitious to serve God in an orbit they will never move in. Many say, I wish I could become a preacher. Well, if you were a preacher, maybe you'd wish that you weren't a preacher. It may be that God will not call you to be a preacher. I remember a man when I was ministering in another part of the city and for many years, and this man came in He was only out of prison a short time, and he'd professed faith in Christ, and we rejoice in that, of course, of those that are saved in prison. But he said, you know, I could go on the platform, and I could lead the service. I said, no, brother, you just sit at the back. You'll just learn to be humble and learn to be submissive, and then maybe in the future you will get on the platform and you will have a work there to do for God. You see, serve God in that place where you are at present. Serve God in your immediate situation where you are. Can you distribute tracts? Well, there's something you can do for the Lord. God has put you there in that situation where you are in life to give a tract to someone that you come in contact with. Can you teach a Sabbath school class? I remember many years ago in Old Raven Hill, late brother Bob Gunning put his hand on my shoulder and said, brother, you could teach a class in Sunday school. I was only 16 at the time. And I began to teach an infant class. Could you imagine me teaching an infant class? Well, that's where I started. To teach an infant class. Maybe I taught some of you here, I don't know. Maybe you were just an infant then. But that's where I began, to teach an infant class in the Sabbath school. And of course, that's where I was at the beginning. That's where the Lord had placed me at that particular time. The Lord wants you to serve where you are. The place that the Lord would give you. Instruct your family. You who have children, God has given you a responsibility to teach your children, to instruct your children, to catechize your children, to bring them up in the fear, nurture, and admonition of the Lord. Begin at home. When Jerusalem was built, every man built his own house. In the days of Nehemiah, build your own house, spiritually speaking. Build your own house, spiritually speaking. The place. You know, the exhortation has to do with the place. But of course, it not only has to do with working in a particular place, but it has to do with work that is possible. We must get plans that are tangible, schemes that we can really manage, ideas that we can really carry out, so that we can fulfill the exhortation of Solomon here, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Years ago there appeared in a Christian magazine an advertisement in which churches were urged to raise enough finance to send 100 missionaries to China. The secretary of the mission called the editor of the magazine, requested, will you strike off the 2 noughts? And find the money to send one. It is said that they who aim at the moon shoot higher than those who shoot at a bush. They may shoot higher, but I don't think they are likely to hit the mark. You see, shooting high is not the thing. It's hitting the mark. It's hitting the mark. And we can raise all these harebrained schemes that we want, and we say we will do this and do that for God. But let's do that which is possible in our situation of life. The exhortation here is to not do great things, but to do the things that thy hand findeth to do. The present things, the possible things. And then, of course, not only the place and that which is possible, but also the work that is problematic. There are things that are a real problem for us to do them. Visitation of the poorest of the poor. The teaching of the most ignorant. The hewing of wood or the drawing of water. The very lowest work in the house of God. If thy hand finds to do it, do it. You will remark in many Christians, and often in ourselves, we have a preference to do those things which we regard as being honorable, which will probably be rewarded with the praise of men. Oh, if we did, but but understand the true majesty of humility. And how great a thing it is for a Christian to do little things. To wash the saints' feet. To do the most menial tasks in the work of God and in the service for the Master. Think of the parable of the Good Samaritan. He was willing to draw alongside that man that was wounded and left to die by the wayside of life. He's willing to lift him up and pour into his wounds that which was needful to give him the balm of healing. To take care of him. Things like that we can do. It's so easy to pass by like the others did on the other side. But we need to take time to do the menial tasks. In the old American war, George Washington, commander-in-chief, was going round his soldiers. And they were hard at work. They were lifting up heavy pieces of timber at some fortification. And there stood the corporal of the regiment. He was calling out to the men, "Heave! Heave! Heave!" And there he was with his hands in his pockets. So Washington, lighting from his horse, said to him, "What is the good of your calling out to these men? Why don't you help them yourself and do part of the work?" The corporal, of course, didn't recognize George Washington. He said, "Don't you realize I'm the corporal?" "I beg your pardon," said Washington. "You're the corporal. I'm sorry if I've insulted you." And so Washington took off his coat and his waistcoat, and he began to help the men build the fortification. And when he had done it, he said, "Mr. Corporal, I'm sorry I insulted you then, but when you have any more fortifications to get up and your men need help, send for George Washington, commander-in-chief, and I will come down and help them." The corporal shrank, thoroughly ashamed of himself. My friend, sometimes we think that some things are beyond us. And we don't do such things. "Oh, I'm the minister. Or I'm the elder. Or I'm so-and-so in the church." I don't do such things. My friend, I am among you as he that serveth. Remember that, Christian. Remember to do the menial tasks. To do the poor things. To wash the disciples' feet. To visit the sick and afflicted. To be an example to others. To be a friend to those who need a friend. To go over to a brother or sister or a visitor who comes into the church and shake their hand and say, "Good to see you. You'll come back again." For first impressions are lasting impressions. Remember that. The Lord has a work for us to do this morning. And then we want you to notice, secondly, the explanation that is declared. "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it." Do it. I want you to notice those words, "do it." Do it promptly. Don't fritter away your lives and setting down what you intend to do tomorrow as being a recompense for the idleness of today. No man ever served God by doing things tomorrow. If we have honored Christ and are blessed, it is the things we do today that matter. Never put off until tomorrow what you can do today, my friend. "Son, go work today in my vineyard." That's what God says. We have no other time in which to live. The past is gone. The future has not come. We all have the present. Let us work for God today. You know, we often quote in the gospel that word, "Behold, now is the accepted time, and behold, now is the day of salvation." But that is not essentially a gospel text, although it can be used in the gospel. It was used to God's people. Now is the accepted time. Now is the time to work for God. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to be diligently engaged in the service of the Lord. the man who was delivered from the demons. He was told to go home to his friends and to tell them what great things the Lord had done for him. Do it promptly. Do it promptly. Do it personally. Whatsoever thy hand, it says in our text. Do it with all thy might. The Lord witnessed to the woman at the well personally. 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 He spoke to her personally in John 4. The Lord spoke to the woman taken in adultery personally in John chapter 8. Jesus spoke to Nicodemus personally in John 3 and said, "Ye must be born again." And if you're not born again this morning, let me speak to you personally. And let me tell you this morning in this service that you must be born again. That if you're ever to enter into the kingdom of God, ye must be born again. You need to be saved. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. God is the author of salvation. But we have a duty to take that message to the lost souls of men and women, the worldwide. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read what Paul the Apostle said there. He talked there about we are ambassadors for Christ. And we beseech you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. So in the sense we are standing in the place of Christ, ambassadors for Him, carrying His message to a lost world, to those in the darkness of sin. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the Savior put us all into the task of soul winning. Will we be willing to do the same? Will we be willing to reach our families and our friends and our neighbors and those we know and those we don't know with the glorious message of the gospel? We need to do it personally. We need to do it promptly. We need to do it powerfully. Where is the might of the Christian? It is not in himself, for he is in weakness. His might lies in the Lord of hosts. Whenever we attempt to serve God in the winning of souls, we must begin with prayer. And that's why the prayer meeting is essential. And that's why we emphasize the prayer meetings before the services. That's why we emphasize the Wednesday night prayer meeting. People say, "I want to do a work for God." Where are you? Are you at the prayer meeting? That's where you start. You want to do a work for God in this church? Let me see you at the prayer meeting. Let me see you at the place of prayer. And then, well, we will decide if you can do a work for God. But certainly if you're not in the prayer meeting is an essential aspect. We must be in the prayer meeting. We must ask in faith. We must ask in prayer believing. We must seek the Holy Spirit's power. Oh, we can kid ourselves about our eloquence. We can say, "I can do this or that for God by my own strength and by my own ability." But unless, dear friends, we have the power of the Holy Spirit, we are a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. The prophet said, "Truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of God." May we know that fullness of power. See the power upon Peter on the day of Pentecost and subsequent days as he preached the gospel. The Bible says, "Be not drunk with wine when it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." May we know the infilling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I want you to see, thirdly, the enthusiasm that is demanded. What enthusiasm have you shown for the cause of Christ? If the Lord Jesus Christ were to come into the midst of this church today to show you His wounded hands and His feet, His riven side, His thorn-pierced brow, and to ask you the question, "I have done all this for you. What have you done for me? What have you done for me?" You've known me some 30 years and some 40 years, some maybe 50 years, or maybe just some a few years or even a few months. He has done all this for you. He has shed His precious blood for you. He has given His life for you on the cross. What have you given for Him? Have you given Him all your tithes, the tenth of your income? Do you give your tithe to God? Do you give your offerings to God? You don't start to give until you've given your tithe. Then you give your offerings after that. Have you given Him your time? Have you given Him your talents? Oh, there are many who have given their tithes and their offerings too, and we thank God for that. Their time has been well spent in supplication and service. And yet when we add it all up, for all of us, and put it side by side with what Christ has done for His people, it is as nothing. It is as nothing. From this day forward, if I were to preach every day of my life, if I were to be spent in the service of Christ, at the end we would have to admit we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. We all come up short as far as the Lord and His great love for us is concerned. And some of us have done absolutely nothing, no praying and no giving and no service. And we think we've got our ticket for heaven and that's all we need. We're slothful and sluggish. We expend no effort. We show no enthusiasm for God's kingdom. Oh, may God forgive us this morning. Surely when we think of the doom that awaits the unconverted, it is fearful beyond question. It ought to cause us to be enthusiastic in the service of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can it be possible for you and I today to be idle when our loved ones and our friends are going to be lost forever in an eternal hell? See, it's Spurgeon said this, O children of the living God, I beseech you by the fires of hell, by the agony that knows no abatement, by the thirst that is not to be mitigated by a drop of water, by the eternity that knows no end, by the wrath to come, be ye up and doing, earnestly showing and striving to the mercy of Christ. Oh, may the Lord give us that enthusiasm today. Parents, you have a duty to your children. It is your primary duty to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, so that your children know what they have been taught. They've been taught the Scriptures. They've been taught the things of God. What legacy have you left for your children or your grandchildren? Is it a legacy of faithfulness to Christ? Sabbath school teachers, youth leaders, children's workers, those involved in the work of God. What a vital work you are engaged in. Do it with all your might. I recall a godly man taught me when I went to Ravenhill Presbyterian down the road here. And I went to the Sabbath school there. And he taught me the gospel of Christ. And I must admit, at that age, I was a brat. Like all the other boys in my class, we tormented that man. Tormented. But he was faithful to us. And with tears running down his face, I can still see him pleading with us to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God I did come. And thank God I was saved. And others in that class too. Teach the children diligently the things of God. Teach the young people the Word of God with enthusiasm. Do it with all thy might. Away with half-heartedness. Give your heart fully to the teaching of the young. And I charge myself today to preach the Word of God in the might and in the power of the Spirit. Not in the deadness of the letter. Oh, we can produce people in our college like egghead professors who can know theology and dot all their I's and cross all their T's theologically. And I'm not against that, by the way. Would to God I knew more of theology. But we're not in the business of producing egghead professors who cannot communicate to people the gospel of Christ. We are in the business of preaching the Word of God with power. Not in the deadness of the letter. The letter killeth, the Spirit giveth life. Preach it with enthusiasm. Preach it in season, out of season. Preach it as if it means something to you. Once when George Whitefield was very sick, he was laid down by his friends by the fireside, and they thought he was dying. And he was watched over by a poor lady. And when he came round a little bit, he opened his eyes. And she said to him, "Are you still alive, Mr. Whitfield?" He said, "Yes, I am, but I was in hopes that I should have been in heaven." And then she told him of many of her culture and of her creed. Down upon this earth who were not yet saved. And he was to seek them out and bring them with him to heaven. And so Whitfield at that time recovered strength. And even found, as that old woman had said, a desire not to go home until he had taken some of these people with him. May we live till we bring many souls with us to the glory. That we will be able to say at the end of our lives, at the end of our earthly pilgrimage, "Here I am, and the children thou hast given me." May the Lord enthuse our hearts. May we go forth with increasing zeal to do the work of God, that whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. May the Lord help us to do that in the days to come. Let us pray. Father, indelibly write upon every heart the truth of thy word. Lord Jesus, help us to work for thee, for there's a work for Jesus. Ready at your hand, there's a task the Master, just for you, has planned. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.